Tuck, tuck. Thank you so much, Olav. Tusen tak, Tanya and Olav, Peuva, Kirsten. We're so glad to be in the church family now. So we're family. Amen.
Ja, vi är så glada för att vara i menighetsfamiljen nu. Tack till Olav och Tanya och Kirsten och Peuva för det.
Speaking of family.
När vi snackar om familje.
Some of you may have seen on Facebook today it's someone's birthday.
Kanske någon råkar sett på Facebook att det är någon som har birthday.
It's Elizabeth's birthday.
Så det är Elizabeths födelsedag.
So being Norwegians, I know you love to sing.
Så du kan nog vet du att du älskar att sjunga.
Can we just stand to our feet?
Kan vi
and
the
Spirit of God is going to come as we do this.
Let's
sing happy birthday to my wife, shall we? Amen.
Happy birthday to kona mi.
All right. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Elizabeth. Happy birthday to you. You're allowed to leave now. Yeah. Wonderful. Tusen takk.
Vidunderlig.
Thank you.
A thousand thanks.
A thousand thanks. I absolutely love that, by the way. So, yes, beklager jeg lærer norsk.
I'm sorry, I am learning Norwegian.
Thank you, yeah. Let's see if I start speaking Hebrew, how you do there, Peuva. I actually started language school this week, so I plan to have lots of progress in the months ahead.
Jeg begynte på språkskole denne uka, så jeg planlegger å gjøre fremskritt i de månedene som kommer.
But in the meantime, have grace. Amen.
Men ha nåde med meg i mellomtiden.
I am from Australia, as Olav mentioned a moment ago.
Ja, jeg kommer fra Australia, som Olav nevnte her for en øyeblikk siden.
And we have moved to Bergen as of February this year.
Og vi har flyttet til Bergen siden februar i år.
And we're very pleased to be here. We're very excited to be back in Norway for Elizabeth.
Ja, og vi så glede oss sånn. Vi tilbake i Norge for Elizabeths del.
I am definitely learning to love Norway.
Og jeg holder på virkelig å lære å elske Norge.
The mountains, the chocolate, the bread.
Fjellene, sjokoladen, brødet.
And I am just happy.
Og jeg bare glad.
But I'm assuming the weather is going to continue as it's been, right?
Og jeg forventer at været fortsetter sånn som det har vært.
People are telling me, oh, this is just normal for Norway, man.
Folk sier at dette helt vanlig for Norge.
So I, amen, good news.
Amen.
I'm pleased. You know, I want you to actually be gracious to me as an Australian.
Jeg vil at dere skal ha nåde med meg som en fra Australia.
I want to tell you honestly, my parents were complaining to me on a phone conversation the other day.
Foreldrene mine, de klager til meg på en telefonsamtale her om dagen.
That it was 9 degrees Celsius in Australia, and they were complaining about that.
Det var 9 grader i Australia, og det klager de på.
I said, don't even talk to me right now.
Jeg sa, ikke si noen ting.
And so that's my normal. I'm used to... It's unusual for it to be in single figures, the temperature.
Ja, det svært uvanlig at det bare altså et tall på gradestokken.
I have skied one time in my life before coming to Norway.
Jeg har stått på ski en gang i livet mitt før jeg kom til Norge.
I started on the easiest ski run.
Jeg begynte på den slakke bakken.
And I started to get quite confident about that, and so my friends took me on a medium run.
Og jeg begynte å føle at jeg hadde grepet på det her, så de tok meg på en sånn mellom bakke.
And I was going down, and I just went crash, 20 meters, crash, 20 meters, crash.
Og jeg stupte for hver 20 meter.
And so I ended up taking my skis off and walking down the mountain for 2 hours.
So
when I see all these Norwegians that ski from 2 years of age, I get a little nervous. So yeah, for those of you that may end up teaching me to ski, please be gracious to me. But truly it's wonderful to be here in Norway. way, and Elizabeth and I are so glad to be in this church family.
Ja, och Elizabeth, och det är så flott att vara här I Norge och vara en del av den menighetsfamiljen.
And I've grown up in church. I've been in church since I was about 8 or 9 years old.
Så jag har vuxit upp I menighet. Vi har varit där sedan jag var 8-9 år gammal.
And I am used to being in church meetings probably like 3 to 6 times a week.
Och jag är van till att vara på möte, alltså från 3 till 6 gånger I uka.
My life growing up was absorbed in church.
Och livet mitt blev alltså absorberat in I menighetsliv.
I was at prayer meetings, worship band practice,
bönemöter, lovsångsövelser.
I was at the extra services, the conferences and church services.
På de extra mötena, konferensen och så vidare.
And I loved it. Like I loved church as a teenager.
Och som en tenåring så älskade jag att vara I menighet.
And I would say to mom, please can we go to the Sunday night service, please.
Please do sit with me. Var så snäll, kan vi gå på kvällsmöte på söndagen?
I loved it. This is my normal growing up in church.
Så jag var glad I det, och det var mitt normala liv att växa upp I menighet.
But what I noticed was growing up in church was that I had this familiarity with church, and I became quite church-minded.
Ja, men det som är efter vart skönt är att jag blev på en måte så vant till menighetsliv att hela sinnet mitt drejde sig om menighets inre liv.
I was so immersed in church and absorbed that a lot of my attention just was between church and school, church and school.
Men hela min mentalitet på en måte blev absorberad av detta här, så allt jag tänkte på var liksom menighetsliv och skola.
I'm sure there are some people that can relate to this. Raise your hand. Yes, there's a few. And so I spent all this time in church and I loved it.
Jag hade brukt så mycket tid I menigheten och jag var glad I det.
But looking back at my time, you know, growing up,
men när jag ser tillbaka på tiden när jag växte upp,
I realize now that unknowingly I was not so conscious of the people outside of church.
Men jag vet idag att jag var inte så bevisst alla de människor som var utanför menighetens liv.
Spending so much time in the walls of the church and school, I didn't spend a great deal of time thinking about, you know, the people of the world.
När jag brukade så mycket tid inför kyrkans väggar och på skolan, så brukade jag väldigt lite tid på att tänka på de människor som var utanför.
And I don't feel condemned for that to this day, honestly. I'm just being honest with you about what it was like.
På grund av det, men jag är bara ärlig med det.
And so I was very church minded.
Så hela mitt sinne var handlade om det inre livet med.
And you know, it's funny to me, I've met a lot of people that have felt the same way during their time growing up in church.
Och jag har mött en del människor som har följt det på samma måten I sin uppväxt mitt I menigheten.
There is my wife literally came out of the womb and was thrust into church.
Kona mi kom ut av morslivet och blev in I menigheten.
She was born in a place called Tulsa, Oklahoma in America.
Hon blev född I Tulsa, Oklahoma I USA.
And her parents were attending Word of Faith school in with Kenneth Hagin in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Kenneth Hagin's school in Tulsa.
And so the way I understand it is, she came flying out of the womb, was caught by her father, and taken to a revival meeting.
Så hon blev kommande ut av morslivet, blev tagit emot av faren och tagit med till på väckelsesmöte.
True, right, love? Yeah,
stämmer
that's
det?
How it was.
Some var det.
And so she's maybe the only one that I know that's had as many church meetings as I, more church meetings than I have had.
Hon är kanske den som varit på fler möten än jag har.
But you know, it's a wonderful blessing. It's a privilege, and I count it as favor.
Det är en välsignelse, och jag regnar det som en favör.
But if we don't. If we don't as a church, if we don't as the body of Christ, if we are not mindful of the world, it can actually produce something unhealthy inside of the believer.
Men hvis vi som menighet ikke bevisste menneskene I verden, så kan det faktisk skape noe som usunt.
It can be an unwanted byproduct of spending so many times in church meetings.
Det kan også være et uønsket biprodukt at vi har så bruker så mye tid I møter I menigheten.
That we actually between church, our career and family, we lose sight of the people of our city.
Mellom menighet, karrieren og familien så mister vi blikket på folket I byen.
We lose sight of the people in our community.
Vi mister blikket på folket som bor I vår nabolag.
We lose sight of the people in our neighborhood.
Vi mister blikket på de som I vårt samfunn I nabolaget.
We lose sight of our next door neighbor.
Vi mister blikket på han som bor ved siden av oss.
And so what the Lord is doing right now in Europe is he's turning the attention of the church to the people of the world.
Så det Gud gjør I Europa nå at han vender vår oppmerksomhet til de menneskene som
denne verden. He's not angry, he's not condemning us.
Han ikke sint eller han fordømmer oss ikke.
What he's doing is he's refocusing us.
Men han refokuserer oss.
He's refocusing us where we've got a little bit lost in just the walls of the church.
Han setter et nytt fokus hvor vi på en måte mister oss litt grann innenfor menighetens vegger.
I want to assure you, I am not a anti-church person. Let me just say that emphatically. Let me say that passionately. You will find me in church until the day that I go to be with the Lord
Jesus.
But I am an evangelist in the church. And God spoke to me and said, Matt, I want you to make the people nervous.
Og Gud talte til meg og sa, Matt, jeg vil at du skal gjøre folk nervøs.
He did not say that.
Nei, det sa han ikke.
But I feel a burden that I have not felt in years gone by that we need to think about the people of the world.
Men jeg kjenner en byrde som jeg ikke har kjent I årene som gikk. Vi må tenke på de menneskene som
denne
verden. Amen.
Let me hear again. Amen.
Amen.
You know, again, we family, church, career, wonderful things.
Familie, menighet, karriere.
But the Lord is setting our sights on the people of our community, our city, and our continent.
Men Gud setter våre øyne på vårt nabolag, på vår by.
And here's what I want to say to you today, if you hear nothing else.
Og her noe som jeg ønsker å si om det. I dag, om ikke noe annet.
When we see them, how God sees them,
når vi ser dem sånn som Gud ser dem,
we'll value them how he values them,
og vi verdsetter dem sånn som han verdsetter dem,
and we'll win them.
Så vil vi vinne dem.
We'll see them how he sees them,
når vi ser dem sånn som han ser dem,
we'll value them how he values them,
vi verdsetter dem sånn som han verdsetter dem,
we'll win them for him.
Da vinner vi dem for han.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I get chills. Hopefully you do too. Let's take our Bibles and go to Matthew 13.
Let us go to Matthäus, kapitel 13.
Matthäus. Is that right?
Matthäus.
Matthäus. Matthäus.
Matthäus.
Matthäus 13. Oh no, they're laughing at me. That's not a good sign. That's not good, Per.
No, de ler av meg. Det ikke et godt tegn.
Help me, Jesus. I have nephews and nieces that are about this big. And my nephew Marcus, who's about 6 years old. He was trying to explain something to me in Norwegian the other day.
And
he's old enough to understand that I don't understand him. And so he was explaining something to me the other day. And I just went, yeah. And he just went, I have never had a five-year-old make me feel so small. Matthew chapter 13,
Matthäus 13,
verse 45.
Vers 45.
Jesus here is addressing the multitude.
Jesus henvender seg nå til folkemengden.
He's actually standing in a boat and he is speaking to a crowd that has gathered to hear him speak.
Han står altså i en båt og han snakker til en mengde mennesker som samlet seg for å høre på ham.
He's telling them what the kingdom is like of which he is the king.
Og han forteller dem hvordan riket er, kongeriket er, hvor han da er kongen.
So let's read verses 45 and 46 i norske Bibler.
Så vi skal lese vers 45 og 46 i den norske Bibelen.
Bibelen,
ja. Himlenes rike er også likt en kjøpmann som søker etter vakre perler. Og da han hadde funnet en meget kostbar perle, gikk han bort og solgte alt han eide og kjøpte den.
This is an interesting passage that has been translated interpreted a certain way a lot.
Dette en interessant skriftavsnitt som har blitt tolket på en bestemt måte veldig ofte.
It's been interpreted that the sinner is the merchant and Jesus is the pearl.
Det har blitt tolket som at synderen da er den kjøpmannen og at Jesus er perlen.
And that the sinner sells their whole life to acquire the pearl that is Jesus.
Og at da altså at synderen som da er kjøpmannen selger sitt liv, hele sitt liv for å få Jesus.
I want to suggest to you that is not the interpretation that we should have with this portion of scripture.
Men jeg vil foreslå at det kanskje ikke tolkningen som vi bør ha når det gjelder dette avsnittet her.
First of all, what do we have to buy Jesus and salvation?
First, hva har vi som kan kjøpe Jesus frelse?
I mean, let's be real here. Jesus is God. What do I have to buy him and salvation?
La oss være litt reelle her. Jesus er Gud. Hva har jeg som kan kjøpe han og frelsen?
Second of all, I don't like the notion that we could in any way, shape or form buy salvation.
Og jeg liker ikke den tanken at vi på noe som helst måte kan kjøpe frelse.
So I would like to suggest to you a different interpretation.
Så jeg vil foreslå en annen tolkning av denne lignelsen.
The merchant is Jesus, and you and I are the pearls of great price.
Handelsmann, kjøpmann er Jesus, og jeg og du er denne perlen som har en høy pris.
Jesus Christ hung on a cross and sold all he had. The Father gave the Son and sold all he had.
Så Jesus hang på korset, og Faderen solgte alt han hadde.
His one and only son to buy the pearls, that's you and I.
Hans eneste sønn som kjøpte meg og deg.
You notice that Jesus likens people to beautiful pearls.
Du ser altså at Jesus ligner folk til verdifulle perler.
This is before he has actually bought them. They are beautiful pearls to him.
Og dette, legg merke, dette før han faktisk har kjøpt dem, så de vakre perler i hans øyne.
That's remarkable if you think about it. The world to him are like beautiful pearls.
Så det betyr at verden for han som vakre perler.
That's stunning.
Det forbausende.
You know, but what's also interesting is that he's speaking to a Jewish audience, and that audience did not consider pearls valuable.
Men du skal legge også merke til at han snakker til et jødisk forsamling, og de regner ikke perler den gangen som verdifulle.
To the Jew, pearls were actually not that valuable, but to the Gentiles, they were extremely valuable.
For jødene satt ikke så stor verdi på perlene, men for hedningene, altså de andre folkegruppene, så hadde perler veldig høy verdi.
And so Jesus is saying, in effect, what you don't value, I value.
Så det faktisk Jesus sier det, det dere ikke setter verdi på, det setter jeg stor verdi på.
Because he said, before the word pearl, in the English Bible, New King James, he said the word beautiful.
Ja, for i New King James versjonen på engelsk, så står det altså beautiful, altså vakre.
He says, the merchant is seeking beautiful pearls.
Det står at han, kjøpmannen, søker etter vakre perler.
But to the Jew, pearls weren't that valuable.
Men for jødene så var ikke perlene så verdifulle.
So he's saying, hey listen, My Jewish brethren, what you do not value, I value.
Så han sa, hør her, mine jødiske brødre, det dere ikke setter verdi på, det setter jeg høy verdi på.
What you do not see as beautiful, I see as beautiful.
Det du ikke ser som vakkert, det ser jeg som vakkert.
My friends, people are beautiful to Jesus.
Folkens, altså, folk er vakre for Jesus.
The people in this city, in this nation, in this continent, they are beautiful to Jesus.
Folk i denne byen, landet, på dette kontinentet er vakre for Jesus.
I am not saying they are saved. I'm saying they are beautiful to Jesus.
Jeg sier ikke at de er frelst, men jeg sier at de er vakre for Jesus.
They are beautiful to him.
De er vakre for han.
Notice this as well. Jesus likens himself to a merchant.
Og legg merke også til dette at Jesus sammenligner seg selv med det å være en kjøpmann, en handelsmann.
Or a businessman.
Eller en forretningsmann.
It was the business of the merchant to be seeking beautiful pearls.
Og det var jo da det som var forretningen til handelsmannen, det var å lete etter å få tak
Another
i,
way to
i
say
vakre perler.
It was his craft, it was his mission.
Det var altså på en måte hans livs hensikt, det var hans fag.
He spent most of his time he spent majority of his time seeking beautiful pearls.
Så han brukte mesteparten av tiden sin til å lete etter vakre perler.
It was the business of Jesus to be seeking after beautiful pearls.
Det var altså forretningen til Jesus å søke etter vakre perler.
You know, that word in the Greek for seeking is zeteo.
På gresk, dette ordet for å søke er altså zeteo.
Say that with me, zeteo.
Kan du si det sammen med meg, zeteo?
Zeteo.
Zeteo.
It also carries the meaning of desiring.
Det innebærer også denne betydningen.
Desiring, to desire.
Ja, og det å ønske sterkt.
To desire.
Og ønske sterkt eller begjære.
So, in other words, he's not just seeking beautiful pearls, he's desiring beautiful pearls.
Så det er ikke bare at han søker vakre perler, men han begjærer det, han vil ha dem.
He's longing after beautiful pearls.
Han lengter etter vakre perler.
He's longing for them. He's moved at the heart for them.
Han beveges i hjertet. For them, for after them.
He's not just going about his business with routine.
Han driver ikke sin forretning bare i rutine.
He's moved at the heart, desiring
Men
the beautiful pearls.
Men han beveger sitt hjerte og inderlig ønske og lengte etter disse.
There was a time where I was desiring my wife, actually.
Det var en tid hvor jeg virkelig ønsket sterkt min kone.
Still continues. I still continue to desire her. And it was actually when we were in first year school of ministry in California.
Det var første året på School of Ministry
and,
i California.
We had met each other in the first year of the School of Ministry.
Vi hadde også møtt hverandre første året på School of Ministry.
And I naturally started to cultivate a desire for her.
Og helt naturlig så begynte det vokse fram en lengsel.
She loved Jesus with all her heart and she was beautiful and had an amazing personality.
Med hele hjertet hadde en flott personlighet.
And so I started to take an interest in Elizabeth as we were getting to know one another.
Så jeg begynte å bli interessert i henne etter hvert som vi ble kjent.
I started to desire her.
Og jeg begynte å lengte og ønske henne.
And, you know, at the end of the school day, we would frequently have to pack away the chairs.
Og på slutten av skoledagen, så måtte vi da stable sammen ofte stolene.
Often as students, we would need to help with the chairs and pack them away for the basketball game in the evening.
Ja, som elever så måtte vi hjelpe til å stable, eller rydde vekk stolene for det skulle være basketkamp på ettermiddagen.
And so I noticed that Elizabeth didn't really hurry away after class at the end of the school day.
Men jeg la merke til at Elizabeth liksom, hun hadde det ikke så veldig travelt når skolen var slutt.
And so I strategically realized
Så helt strategisk så skjønte jeg
it was beneficial for me to packing chairs at the end of the school day.
At det var en fordel for meg å være med og stable stoler.
The strategic man inside of me realized it's good for me to pack chairs.
Den kalkulerende mann på innsiden av meg skjønte det, det bra at jeg stablet stoler.
The likelihood of us crossing paths as I stack chairs is getting higher and higher.
Sannsynligheten at jeg kan komme forbi hennes vei hvis jeg med å stable stoler, den øker.
And as the people began to leave to go home,
og når folk begynte å gå på vei hjem,
there was a greater likelihood that I would cross paths with Elizabeth.
Så var det en stor sannsynlighet for at jeg kom til å gå forbi Elizabeth.
And so sometimes we would cross paths as I was stacking chairs.
Og noen ganger så møtte vi hverandre da mens vi drev og stablet stoler.
It's just, hey Elizabeth, just stacking chairs.
Hey Elizabeth, vi stabler stoler.
Just doing the Christian thing, you know.
Vi holder på med disse kristne tingene, vet du.
Just doing the godly thing.
Bare gjør de gudlige tingene.
I'm a godly guy. I just serve.
Jeg er virkelig en gudfryktig mann. Jeg er bare en tjener.
Just a servant of all right here.
Ja, jeg bare tjener alle. Ser du det?
Just stacking chairs, you know.
Jeg bare stabler stoler.
Yeah, that's what I do. Stack chairs.
Det er det jeg gjør, stable stoler.
I don't want to preach, I just want to stack chairs.
Jeg vil preke, jeg vil ikke bare stable stoler.
It was strategic for me in that I was desiring Elizabeth.
Men det var strategisk fordi at jeg lengtet etter Elizabeth.
And somehow, by some miracle in the grace of God, she said yes when I asked her to marry me.
Og ved Guds mirakel og Guds nåde, så sa hun ja når jeg spurte om hun ville gifte seg med meg.
It's amazing what you'll do when you're desiring someone or something.
Det er forunderlig hva du vil gjøre hvis du begjærer noe eller noen.
It's amazing the price you'll pay when you're desiring someone or something.
Det er forunderlig hvilken pris du vil betale hvis du virkelig vil ha noe og begjære det.
And Jesus was the merchant that gave all for the sake of the beautiful pearls.
Og Jesus var handelsmannen som ga alt for de vakre perlene.
My friends, he does not just see people, he values people.
Så venner, han ser ikke bare mennesker, men han verdsetter dem.
And something happened in the heart of this church boy a few years ago.
Og noe skjedde i hjertet på denne kirkegutten for noen år siden.
Where I still continue to love Christians, but I began to be moved by people of the world.
Hvor jeg fremdeles er glad i kristne, men jeg begynte å bli beveget av folk i denne verden.
The desire grew, and it grew, and it grew.
Og bare denne sterke lengselen og ønsket bare vokste og vokste og vokste.
And it continued to move me to act with people.
Og det fortsatte å bevege meg til å komme i kontakt med folk.
And I have seen more people led to Jesus in the last, you know, 2 years than I have in my entire life before that.
Well, I've seen flere mennesker komme til tro på Jesus de siste 2 årene enn hele resten av mitt liv.
You know, just the other day, I ministered to a man outside of his house, Haukeland Hospital.
For noen dager siden, utenfor Haukeland, utenfor huset hans, så snakket med han.
I just prayed for some sickness in his body. He had a lung condition.
Jeg ba for en sykdom i kroppen. Han hadde et eller annet med lungene.
And I just shared very simply with him. I said, my friend, Jesus Christ loves you. He has an enormous plan for your life.
Veldig kjapt, enkelt. Jesus Kristus elsker deg. Han har en enorm plan for livet ditt.
We had a wonderful conversation and then we left.
Og vi hadde en vidunderlig samtale, og så gikk vi.
And just this week, I saw him in Rematusen near our house.
Og så denne uka så han på Rematusen.
And he turned around. And he said to me, do you remember me?
Og så ventet han seg til meg, og så spurte han, husker du meg?
I said, yes, I remember you, so good to see you.
Ja, selvfølgelig husker jeg det, så bra, flott å se deg.
He said, I need to talk to you, can I wait for you out the front of Rematusen?
Ja, men altså, sa han, jeg trenger å snakke med deg, kan jeg vente på deg på utsiden av Rematusen?
I said, sure, no problem.
Ja, selvfølgelig, ikke noe problem.
So I brought my norske brød and my brunost and...
Så hadde jeg tok med meg norske brød og brunosten.
And my norske laks, and then I went out of Rematusen.
Og den norske laksen, og gikk ut av Rematusen.
And he said, listen, I've been wanting to talk to you and hoping that I would see you again.
Og så sa han, hør,
When you met me that day and you prayed for me, something happened to me. I said, what are you talking about? What happened? And he was quite, I don't know if you know, exasperated. He was quite like, whoa. He was not making sense.
Ja, så han var på en måte overveldet. Det var nesten uforståelig det han sa.
I said, did something happen in your body?
Så sa, skjedde det noe I kroppen din?
No, he said, no, something's happened with him.
Nei, han sa, noe har skjedd med han, sånn.
I don't know what that means, but he pointed to the sky.
Han pekte mot himmelen.
Something's happened with him.
Noe har skjedd med han, sånn.
He said, would you please come to my house? Can we have coffee?
Han sa, kan du være så snill og komme hjem til meg så vi kan drikke kaffe sammen?
This is my address.
Her adressen min.
And he said, number 10, I'm on the top level. Will you please ring the doorbell?
Bor I nummer 10 nivå. Ring på klokka.
I'm on the top level. Please, can I make you some coffee and let's have time together?
Ja, og så I 10. etasje, kom, jeg vil drikke kaffe med deg, og la oss prate.
Honestly, I'm not really sure exactly what has happened, but this coming week, I'm going to have a coffee with him.
Så jeg faktisk ikke helt sikker på hva som skjedde, men denne uka her så skal jeg gå og
something's happened in his heart.
Drikke kaffe med han. Noe skjedde med hjertet hans.
Something's happened in his body, I think, but something more important has happened in his heart.
Noe tror jeg har skjedd med kroppen, men viktigere noe har skjedd I hans hjerte.
You know, what would it look like if we saw people how God sees them?
Hvordan vil det se ut dersom vi ser mennesker som Gud ser
dem? What would it look like if just the people in this room right now valued God, people how God values them?
Hva vil det skje hvis bare oss her I dette rommet verdsetter mennesker sånn som Gud verdsetter dem?
And I include myself in there.
Og det inkluderer meg selv I.
What would it look like, God, if I valued people how you value them?
Hvordan vil det se ut hvis jeg verdsetter mennesker sånn som du verdsetter dem?
What would it look like if I valued the drug addict how God values the drug addict?
Hvordan blir det hvis jeg verdsetter den narkomane sånn som Gud verdsetter han?
What would it look like if I valued the immoral teenager how God values them?
Hvordan blir det hvis jeg verdsetter den umoralske tenåringen sånn som Gud verdsetter han?
Here we go. What would it look like if I valued President Trump the way God values him?
Hvordan ser det ut hvis jeg hadde verdsatt President Trump sånn som Gud setter pris på?
Don't go there! Don't go there!
Ikke ta opp det der.
Did you feel a little bit of the oxygen went out of the room then?
Forsvant oksygen ut av rommet nå.
Seriously though.
Men helt alvorlig.
Do you think God values President Donald Trump?
Tror du at Gud verdsetter President Trump?
Sometimes we have glasses over our eyes.
Noen ganger så har vi på en måte akkurat som briller på øynene.
I'm not saying I would have voted for him. I'm just saying sometimes we have glasses over our eyes.
Jeg sikker at jeg hadde kanskje stemt på han, men noen ganger så har vi noe som dekker øynene våre.
What would it look like if we valued Muslims the way Jesus values them?
Hvordan hadde det sett ut dersom vi verdsetter muslimer sånn som Jesus setter pris på dem?
Sometimes we have glasses over our eyes.
Noen ganger så har vi på en måte akkurat som det glass over øynene våre.
My little niece Amalia, she's I think like 4 years old.
Niesa mi Amalia, hun 4.
And she was walking down the street this last week with her mother.
Hun gikk ned over gata denne uka her sammen med mora.
And she, I think that they came close to a Islamic couple and the woman had a headscarf on.
De var altså I nærheten av et muslimsk par da, og kona hadde da den hijaben.
And Amalia says out loud this.
Og Amalia sier da høyt ut.
Look, mama, it's Joseph and Maria.
Se, mama, det Josef og Maria.
Absolutely true, right, Elizabeth?
Helt sant, ikke sant, Elizabeth?
It's Joseph and Maria, mama.
Det Josef og Maria, mamma.
Oh, my goodness, I could feel the conviction of God when I heard that.
Altså denne overbevisningen.
Kids often don't have our glasses.
Altså, barn har ofte ikke de brillene som vi har.
What would it look like if we valued people how Amalia values them?
Hvordan ville det ha sett ut hvis vi verdsetter mennesker sånn som Amalia verdsetter?
I am preaching to myself today.
Og jeg preker til meg selv I dag.
The merchant is Jesus, and he sold everything for the sake of the pearls.
Köpmannen är Jesus, och han sålde allt för pärlen.
Jesus, hanging on the cross, paid the ultimate price for beautiful pearls.
Så Jesus hang på korset och betalade den ultimata pris för värdefulla pärlor.
He spilled his precious innocent blood.
Han utgjutte sitt värdefulla oskyldiga blod.
His blood poured down that rugged wooden cross to purchase beautiful pearls.
Och så blod hans rant ner över det träkorset för att köpa vackra pärlor.
He gave everything.
Han gav allt.
He gave the ultimate price, his own precious blood. He was innocent.
Han var oskyldig, men han betalade den ultimata pris, sitt eget blod.
He was the perfect innocent lamb on the cross.
Han var det fullkomna oskyldiga lammet på korset.
Fully man, fully God.
Fullt ut människa, fullt ut Gud.
Never ever has a price been paid for love like that.
Och aldrig någon gång har en pris för kärlek, så hög pris för kärlek blivit betalt.
And never ever will there ever be a price paid like that.
Och aldrig någon gång vill det bli betalt en pris som sånt.
And it was for beautiful pearls.
Och det var för vackra pärlor.
It was for the world.
Det var för världen.
It was for the people of Bergen.
Det var för folket I Bergen.
It was the people that you and I work with.
Det är för de folk som du jobbar med.
It was the people that we go to school with.
Det är för de folk som vi går på skolan sammen
med. It was the people of Norway.
Det är för folket I Norge.
It was the people of this continent of Europe.
Det var för folket på detta kontinenten Europa.
And God is doing a wonderful work in our hearts.
Och Gud gör nu ett vidunderligt verk I våra hjärtan.
In my heart and in your heart.
I mitt hjärta och I ditt hjärta.
And he's causing us to see them how he sees them.
Han får oss till att se dem sånt som han
so
ser dem.
We value them how he values them.
Sånt att vi värdsätter dem sånt som han värdsätter dem.
So we'll win them for him.
Så vi kan vinna dem för honom.
And I tell you, we're going to see many souls saved one on one.
Vi kommer till att se många själer blir frälst en och en.
And we're going to see many souls saved on a mass level in Europe.
Och så kommer vi också att se många själer frälst på en.
I believe
I stora massor I
there
Europa.
Is a unique move of God going on in this continent right now.
Jag tror det är unikt en bevägelse av Gud på detta kontinent.
And my European friends have said to me that have been here much longer than I have.
Och mina europeiska vänner som har varit här mycket längre än jag har.
This move of God is undeniably being led with evangelism.
Den bevägelsen blir kan inte förnektas att den leds av evangelisering.
Let me say it this way. It is an evangelistic move of God.
Det alltså en evangeliseringsbevägelse av Gud.
Souls are being saved in this continent like we've not seen for years.
Själer blir frälst på detta kontinenten som vi inte har sett på många år.
I tell you, it's an exciting time.
So I see them and the spännande tid.
I love the bread here, but I'm excited for the people coming to Jesus.
Glad I brödet här, men jag är begeistrad för folk som kommer till Jesus.
We're going to win them one on one.
Vi ska vinna dem en och en.
And we're going to win them in stadiums and arenas.
Och vi ska vinna dem på stadier och arenor.
We're going to see them won at the individual level and then at the mass level.
Vi ska se att de blir vunna på det individuella nivået och I stora grupper.
What would it look like if you led masses to Jesus just through your voice?
Vad vill det se ut som där som du leder mängder människor till Jesus bara genom din röst?
So pleasing to the Lord.
Så välbehaglig för Herren.
Let's stand.
Kan vi stå sammen?
I believe that's coming to Europe.
Jag tror att det kommer till Europa.
I believe that was not just a once off for Africa.
Jag tror inte detta handlar bara om Afrika.
I do not believe it is just reserved for Africa.
Tror inte det bara för Afrika detta här.
Does God love Africans any more than he loves Europeans?
Älskar han Afrika mer än han älskar européer?
Some of those people walked hours to be at those gatherings.
Någon av dessa gick I timmesvis för att vara på dessa.
They were hungry for Jesus.
De var sultna för Jesus.
And I know there are hungry people in this place here.
Jag vet att det är sultna människor här på detta.
There are hungry people in Norway and there are hungry people in Europe.
Det är sultna människor I Norge och I Europa.
I want us to respond as a people in a moment to that.
Ønsker at vi skal gi respons som et folk om et litt øyeblikk.
But first of all, I just want to ask you to close your eyes.
Ønsker bare først at du lukker øynene dine.
I spoke today about Jesus Christ hanging on a cross and paying the ultimate price with his life.
Snakket I dag om Jesus som hang på korset og betalte den største prisen.
Jesus Christ chose to lay down his life on a cross.
Jesus valgte å gi sitt liv på korset.
And the Bible says that he who knew no sin became sin.
Og Bibelen sier at han som ikke visste av synd ble gjort til
synd. That we might become the righteousness of God.
Slik at vi skulle bli Guds rettferdighet.
Jesus paid the price so that you and I could be forgiven and made righteous.
Så Jesus betalte prisen så at du og jeg kunne bli tilgitt.
And not only have a clean record, but be made children of God.
Og ikke bare det å få en ren bli rene, men å bli et Guds barn.
What manner of love the Father has put upon us that we should be children of God.
At Guds kjærlighet har gjort det slik at vi får være Guds barn.
I want to ask you in this place, have you put your trust in Jesus Christ?
Og jeg vil spørre deg her på dette stedet, har du satt din lit til Jesus Kristus?
Have you commit your life to him?
Har du gitt ditt liv til han?
Have you given your entire life to Jesus?
Har du gitt hele livet ditt til Jesus?
Do you belong to Jesus?
Tilhører du Jesus?
Have you said, Jesus Christ, I give you my life?
Har du sagt, Jesus Kristus, jeg gir deg mitt liv?
Forgive me of my sin, I want to live for you.
Tilgi meg syndene mine, jeg vil leve for deg.